Mexico, who told me this morning they had to cancel services because they're having a freak blizzard. So we can be thankful we're not in New Mexico this month. Most of us had the opportunity this past week to celebrate Thanksgiving. And I hope that you took the time to do that. And most of us, during Thanksgiving, spend some time talking about those things for which we are thankful. And again, I hope that you have a family tradition wherein you do that. But interestingly enough, it's a lovely thing to be thankful once a year. But do you know that it's beneficial to be thankful the rest of the year too? In fact, gratitude is one of those tools that we have access to every day. It doesn't cost us much money. It doesn't take a lot of time. The benefits are significant. And interestingly enough, psychologists and psychiatrists have done a lot of studies that cost the United States taxpayers a lot of money to confirm what God has already told us. But let me just go through some of those studies with you, and then we're going to get into the lesson. What benefit is being grateful to you? Well, gratitude tends to open the door to more relationships. Not only does saying thank you mean that you have good manners, but it also helps to win you new friends. The studies found that taking or thanking a new acquaintance makes them more likely to want to talk to you again. So acknowledging other people's contributions can lead to new opportunities. Second, having an attitude of gratitude improves your physical health. Grateful people experience fewer aches and pains, and they report feeling healthier than other people. Now, not surprisingly, those same people tend to take better care of their health, which is likely to contribute to a longer life. Next, gratitude also improves psychological health. It reduces a multitude of toxic emotions from envy and resentment to frustration and regret. And the research confirms that gratitude effectively increases both happiness and reduces depression. Gratitude also enhances empathy and reduces aggression. Grateful people are more likely to behave pleasantly, even when other people are not kind. Study participants who ranked higher on gratitude scales were less likely to retaliate against other people, and they were less likely to seek revenge. Now, does any of this sound biblical to you yet? It's not yet, so we're still going over the psychological studies, but it sounds a lot like stuff that we've read. Next, grateful people sleep better. That was fascinating to me. In the studies they conducted, if people would just spend 15 minutes a night jotting down things for which they were grateful before they went to bed, they would not only sleep longer, but they would sleep better. Now, as Christians, it's true. I heard somebody whisper back there, well, yeah, those were my nightly prayers. Same thing. We just need a psychological study to show them to us. Gratitude also improves self-esteem because people who are more grateful for the blessings in their own lives are less resentful toward other people who have more money or better jobs. And those grateful people are able to appreciate other people's accomplishments. And finally, being grateful increases mental strength. Recognizing all you have to be thankful for, even during the worst times of your life, fosters a significant resilience. We all have abilities and opportunities to be grateful. What we need to do is take a few moments to focus on those things that we have, rather than complaining about those things that we want or think we deserve. Interestingly enough, developing an attitude of gratitude is one of the simplest ways to improve our satisfaction in life, according to, that was probably 9 different studies. But interestingly enough, the kingdom of God is clearly shown on earth when Christians gratefully suffer present troubles because they see a future weight of glory coming down that makes everything this world throws them like a light and momentary affliction, according to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. But there's more to that context, and I want us to read it all. If you look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart." For what do you have to be grateful? A resurrection? That might be worth something. And the glory of God. This is a fascinating thing to me. Do you know that when you are grateful, it brings glory to God? Some of you know the name Elizabeth Elliot. She's a rather famous missionary wife. She lost her husband in the mission field. She faced a lot of hardships. And this is a quote from her. It says, "To love God is to love his will. It is to wait quietly for life to be measured by one who knows us through and through. It is to be content with his timing and his wise apportionment. It is to follow in the steps of the Master, as did Paul, who was able to say that he had learned contentment no matter what the circumstances." And do you know what his circumstances were when he wrote that? That's right, he was in prison. And you find that in 1 Timothy chapter 6. David says in Psalm 116 verse 17, "I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord." Conceptually, in my opinion, those are interesting things. If you look in Leviticus chapter 3, you learn about thank offerings. They're one of the few offerings or sacrifices that are not required by anyone. These are sacrifices that the only reason that you would make them is because you were thankful for the blessings that God gave you. And that would be it. David says, "I am so grateful, Lord, for your presence, for your help in my life. I will give you a thank offering. Thank you, Lord." All of us can seek to have that attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving, and we can rise to a new level of holiness in our own lives. Well, let's look at some ways to practice being thankful in everyday life. Thank and praise God for everything in life. We thank Him for even the difficult times. And sometimes it is a sacrifice to do that, but He can turn troubles into triumph. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, we read, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." The picture behind me says, "Smooth seas do not make a good sailor." However, you would be hard-pressed to find a sailor in the middle of a storm saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this storm. It's awesome that I'm thinking this ship is going to go down." It's hard to say thank you when you're in the middle of trials. But trials make us better. We celebrated Thanksgiving this past week, but I think sometimes we find difficulties being thankful the rest of the year. So this morning, while we're taking a look at Scripture and discovering that as Christians, we have lots of reasons to be thankful, we're going to focus on some of those reasons for which we can be thankful. Number one, we worship God, and God is good. Psalm number 100, verses 4 through 5. "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise." Thank you, John, for leading that song. Interesting that we didn't coordinate that. Came up with that all by himself. Now, I will tell you that in my house, sometimes we have problems reading through the Psalms without singing, because we make discoveries. And we discover, hey, we've got a song about that. And when you start reading Psalm 100, it's hard to read that without singing. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And then you realize you run out of tune, and then you start reading again. But think about that. Thank you, Lord, that you are good. Probably one of the most important reasons to be thankful is because of who God is. He is worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving. And David knew this, and he set up Levites in the temple to do nothing but praise God. And their task was simply to stand before the Lord and praise Him. And these are the types of things they said. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks to His holy name. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And they got paid for that, because David wanted it done, because God was worthy of the praise. When we look at the whole of the Bible, we discover that the Bible, of course, is pointing us to who God is. And our reasons for being thankful could end and begin with God is good. But we have more than just God for which to be thankful. Let's look at some more. We also have Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 15, we read, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Sometimes the last part of that is easier to read than it is to do. How many of you have chores that you don't care for? Oh good, I'm glad I'm not the only one. I find it hard sometimes to give thanks to the Lord while I'm doing dishes. That's just not one of my favorite things to do. Do you know, interestingly enough, I can give thanks to God while I'm mowing my yard, because I'm outside, I have a yard, and I enjoy that. But doing dishes is just not one of those things that I can regularly give thanks for. But I'm working on it. Give thanks to God that I have those dishes. And the fact that I'm washing them means they were dirty, because I had food to put on. We have reasons to be thankful, to thank God for the activities that we're doing. And you know what? If we're not, maybe we shouldn't be doing those activities. Right alongside of being thankful for God's goodness is being thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for who He is. We're thankful for what He's done. And Paul wrote that we should do everything in the name of Christ, which should flow out of a grateful heart. There are about 256 names given in the Bible for the Lord Jesus. And perhaps that was because He was just so far beyond what a single name could encapsulate. And if you're lacking for reasons in life to be grateful, maybe it's because we've taken our eyes off Jesus. Next, we can be thankful because God delivers us from adversity. We go back to Psalm chapter 31, starting in verse 7, and we say, "I will rejoice and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place." Most of us have faced adversity in life. Did God deliver you from it? Did you get through it? Then you owe somebody a thank you. Are you currently facing adversity? God is faithful. Stay faithful to Him. We talked a little bit ago about being thankful for our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 55, we read, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank you for that salvation. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4 says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the grace. Something that should not exist is perpetually grumpy Christians. But sadly, it happens. Now, don't misunderstand me. All of us have bad days. I'm talking about those people who can find negative in the $20 bill they just found on the street. Come on. Some of y'all laughing, you know you've met them. But you know what? If your personality isn't bubbly, you don't have to fake it. You don't have to fake bubbly. You can be a steady kid. But you shouldn't always be that person looking at the negative side of life. Our salvation should transform our hearts and minds into a grateful container of God's grace and forgiveness. I have mentioned this movie before, but if you've never seen the movie Pollyanna, go ahead and take the time to watch that. It's a movie about people's attitude, and interestingly enough, it was made in a time, if you watch that movie, you're going to watch at least three sermons, because it's about some Christians with some bad attitudes that need to change. I know the print is too small. Let me read it to you. It says, the game was just to find something about everything to be glad about, no matter what it was. For you see, when you're hunting for the good things, you sort of forget the other stuff. Our attitude does matter. You know what? It doesn't change the fact that you're laid up. It just makes your attitude better. Some of you guys have had the opportunity to go by and visit Brother Godby, who has been laid up in his bed going on 12 weeks, flat on his back. And we have talked about what that takes. And it's hard, but it's all attitude at this point. And he does a marvelous job. In Psalm chapter 147, starting in verse 7, we read, sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre, for he covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry, thank you, Lord. Provisions in the Lord's Prayer. What's the first thing he prays for? For our daily bread, yes? You know, without all those things, you don't eat much. If it stops raining, it's hard to grow the wheat. Cows die, it's hard to eat the meat. I'm not sure why he put the ravens in there. I don't know, that's just one of those things. But there you go. Thank you, Lord, for the food that we have. It is a fascinating thing to live in America in this time period. Because you can eat food from Saudi Arabia, Japan, Korea, South Africa, South America, all in the same meal. It's a fascinating place to be. God also answers our prayers, and we need to be thankful for those answered prayers. In Psalm chapter 66, starting in verse 16, we read, come and hear all you who fear God, and I will tell what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Thank you, Lord, for those prayers that you answered. Historically, there were leaders of the Clapham sect, such as William Temple, who initiated enormous social reforms in England. And they dedicated themselves to 3 hours of daily prayer. They organized Christians throughout the country to unite in prayer before critical debates in Parliament. They knew and persistently proved the power of prayer. But do you know that William Temple was not without his critics, who often told him that his prayers had nothing to do with real life, that they were just coincidences. Mr. Temple's reply was, do you know that I have found that when I pray, those coincidences happen? And when I don't, they don't. Our Lord's disciples' request is one of those things that we need to think about making in our own prayers. Remember what the disciples asked God, or asked Jesus? Lord, teach us to pray. Not just how to pray, but what to pray for. And finally, we can look at our troubles in life. In Job chapter 1, verse 21, we read, "And he said, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." If you've never read the book of Job, go ahead and do that. Because by the time he's uttering those lines, he's sitting in dust with boils on his body. We already read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, but it's worth reading again. Let's look at it. "Rejoice always and pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Sometimes it's harder to do that than in others. Now, sometimes this includes, some of you might have heard of the great theologian Garth Brooks. He sang a song called "Unanswered Prayers." And I take some issues with Mr. Brooks because I don't believe prayers go unanswered. But I do believe we get told no sometimes. You ever prayed for something, time passed on, and you were glad you didn't get it? It wasn't an unanswered prayer. That was God telling you no.
That's right.
We all face trials in life, some of us more than others. But how we respond to those trials shows the condition of our hearts. Billy Graham once commented that nowhere does the Bible teach that Christians are exempt from the tribulations and natural disasters that come upon the world. Scripture does teach that Christians can face tribulation, crisis, and calamity with a power that is not available to the people outside of Christ. Job's attitude is an inspiration. In Job chapter 13, verse 15, Job says, "Though he slay me, yet I will continue to trust in him." The sufferer will be blessed if in the midst of the agony and despair, he can look into the face of God, and because of God's love and presence, he can still be grateful. Our response to suffering should lead us to look beyond it in the attempt to see God's will and purpose. Sometimes God wants to teach us some things. Sometimes we're supposed to garner skills. And sometimes the lesson's not ours, it's for somebody else. Those are the hard times. You know what? Job wasn't learning a lesson. Go read the whole book. God was teaching Satan something. By giving thanks to God in both good times and bad, Christians can show the world an attitude that is frequently foreign to them. It's okay, it's normal in the world to be grateful in good times, but it is much rarer to praise God during the times of trouble. So in summary, what is it that we can be grateful for? God and His goodness. Jesus Christ, our Savior. God's deliverance from adversity. God's deliverance through salvation. God's provision. Answered prayers. Troubles in life. This morning, where are you on the gratitude scale? Are you grateful for the things that God has done in your life through you, or do you tend to find the reasons to be negative and skeptical? The world needs more people to be thankful. In fact, we need to become known as a people of thanksgiving more than we are now. We need to be people who are marked by grace and thanksgiving, and to be a church who goes out to people and draws them in and show them God's transforming power. Show them the people He wants them to be. This morning, if you're here and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you not to leave before you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and you can do that today. stick around and talk to either myself or the other leaders who are here, because we would love to help you. This morning, if you would like, while we stand together and sing, you can come forward and chat with me.